Hello and welcome to the campus of Whiteland Community High School. My name is Lex Zorn and I'll be bringing you all the action as your 6th-ranked Plainfield Quakers challenge the Whiteland Warriors in Week 7 of the Indiana high school football season. Well, coming off their first loss of the season and the Tyler Bless era 2 weeks ago at Decatur Central, Plainfield fired back hard last week, playing by far their best game of the season as they destroyed the Franklin Grizzly Cubs 38-3 at Red Price Stadium. Franklin entered the game at 4-2 and ranked 13 in the state in Class 5A, and they had won 3 of their last 4 against Plainfield, including the last 2 at Plainfield. But the Quakers quickly took control of the game and dominated the entire way, overcoming their habit of slow starts and letting the opponents stay in the game too long. Back in Week 1, the Quakers went down 13-0 at Terre Haute South before coming back to lead 17-13 at the half and winning 32-13. Then in their home opener against Harrison in a rematch of last year's playoff opener, the Quakers went down 14-0 before coming back to win 15-14. Back on the road in Week 3, Plainfield saved us from the usual tension, cruising to a comfortable 31-15 win and breaking a 5-game losing streak to the Mooresville Pioneers. The Quakers then returned home for their only 2-game homestand of the regular season. In Week 4, they were given a scare by recently improved Perry Meridian, but held on for a 21-20 win on a missed 30-yard field goal on the Falcons' last possession. At home again in Week 5, Plainfield overcame a scare against much-improved Greenwood. The Quakers led only 22-20 in the third quarter and looked like they were losing their momentum when they turned the game on a successful fake punt on 4th and 10 at their own 33. From there, they closed out the game with 24 unanswered points, winning 46-20, moving to 5-0 for the first time in 17 years and moving up to number 4 in the AP poll in Class 5A. In week six at arch rival Decatur Central in Southwest Indianapolis, Plainfield led 23-9 in the third quarter, but a roughing the kicker penalty on the punt kept the Hawks' possession alive and changed the momentum of the game. Decatur Central closed with 17 unanswered points, capped off by a 49-yard field goal from Ashton Vogel for the 26-23 win, avenging a heartbreaking loss in last year's sectional championship game. But last week, before a near-capacity home crowd, Plainfield set out to slay the demon of the loss, and they achieved it in a huge way. The Quakers got the ball first and scored on a 9-yard touchdown rush by Luke Starnes. Cameron Grimes hit the extra point, making it 7-0. Then on Franklin's first possession, the Quakers recovered a Grizzly Cubs fumble at the Plainfield 34. On the first play of the ensuing drive, Hunter Newell threw 66 yards to Jameer Bowie for the touchdown, and this time Leo Hayoff hit the extra point, making it 14-0. Then on the ensuing kickoff, Plainfield got super aggressive with an onside kick, which they recovered. Though the Quakers went 3-and-out on that possession because Newell was sacked, on Franklin's next possession, Clay Pinnock threw a pass that was intercepted by Will Freeman and returned all the way to the Franklin 12. After getting up to a first and goal at the 1, a 2-yard loss and a 5-yard penalty resulted in Plainfield settling for a 23-yard field goal from Hayoff, but that still gave them a 3-possession lead, 17-0 at 9:27. With 9:27 to go in the second quarter. Then with 3:43 to go in the quarter, Starnes scored his second touchdown of the game and 11th of the season on a 3-yard rush. The 2-point conversion attempt, which would have given the Quakers a nearly insurmountable 4-possession lead, was no good, but they were still in very strong control of the game at 23-0. And with 1:26 to go in the quarter, the team's third leading receiver, Isaiah Miller, finally got his first touchdown of the season on a 5-yard pass from Newell. Hayop kicked his second extra point of the game, making the score 30-0. And finally, with 3 seconds left in the quarter, Franklin got a score on a 39-yard field goal from J.D. Sever, making the halftime score 30-3. With 9:39 to go in the third quarter, Weston Weyrich scored his second touchdown of the season on a 41-yard rush. Newell threw to Caden Vanderbush for a successful 2-point conversion, giving Plainfield a 38-3 lead. At that point, because of the 35-point margin, we automatically went to a running clock, and there was no more scoring for the remainder of the game. The win moved the Quakers up 2 notches to number 6 in this week's AP poll for Class 5A. Now with only two games left to tune up for the playoffs, Plainfield tries to keep the fire burning tonight as they visit one of the two teams that's given them the most trouble over the recent years, the Whiteland Warriors. Whiteland has beaten Plainfield 12 of the last 13 times, including the last 6. The rivalry has been particularly one-sided in the last 4 games, with the Warriors winning by an average of 32 points including 45-14 last year in the regular season, followed by 49-14 in the regional. However, after advancing to the Class 5A state championship game last year and losing to Valparaiso 35-31, Whiteland is having a rare down year, having lost four of their five leading rushers from last season. Peyton Emberton and Jonathan Crowley to graduation, and returning juniors Malik Perkins and Nereus Moore-Smith to an injury and a move, respectively. As a result, the Warriors are off to a 3-4 start. They easily beat Jeffersonville in the opener 52-20, then suffered an upset loss to Kokomo by a score of 27-13. The Warriors rebounded with a very good 31-15 win over Decatur Central before losing two consecutive games, 22-21 to Franklin and 28-13 to Perry Meridian. In week 6, they beat Martinsville 34-22, followed by a 21-7 loss to Mooresville last week. Now, so far this season, Plainfield has rushed 218 times and passed 161 times, a ratio of 1.35-1. Senior Hunter Newell has been very understated and efficient all season, establishing himself as a solid Division I prospect. He's completed 93 of 159 passes, 58.5%, for 1,014 yards, 10 touchdowns, and best of all, no interceptions. His leading receiver is junior Jameer Bowie, who's having a breakout season with 28 receptions for 318 yards and 5 touchdowns. Close behind is senior Caden Vanderbush, bound for Western Michigan University. He has 21 receptions for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, in addition to a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Senior Isaiah Miller, though sometimes lost in the shadow of Bowie and Vanderbush, has had a very good season in his own right, with 24 receptions for 243 yards and 1 touchdown. On the ground, the Quakers are led by arguably their MVP, sophomore Luke Starnes, who has 137 rushes for 750 yards and 11 touchdowns. He's also getting solid backup help from senior Carter Ferguson with 24 rushes for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns, and junior Weston Weyrich with 15 rushes for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. Newell also has rushed well, totaling 33 rushes for 117 yards and 1 touchdown. Meanwhile, Whiteland has rushed 322 times and passed 51 times, a ratio of 6.3-1. Junior quarterback Ollie Taylor has completed 20 of 46 passes, 43.5% for 295 yards, no touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. Their leading receiver is senior Gunnar Hicks with 7 receptions for 123 yards and 1 touchdown. In addition, senior Andrian Kaligbo has 4 receptions for 56 yards, and senior Caden Davidson has 4 for 43. On the ground, the Warriors are led by the only one of their top 5 rushers from last season, who is currently playing for the team at full strength, junior Slate Valentine, who has 172 rushes for 956 yards and 7 touchdowns. However, he's not getting a lot of help. A distant second is senior Gunnar Hicks with 19 rushes for 124 yards and 2 touchdowns. Junior Malik Perkins, their second-leading returning rusher, has 12 rushes for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns, but suffered an injury in Week 2 and has only one rush since. In addition, senior Adrian Kaligbo has 7 rushes for 97 yards. Senior Caden Davidson is 21 for 15. Sophomore Dane Koontz has 8 for 63 and 2 touchdowns. And quarterback Ollie Taylor has 38 rushes for 35 yards and 4 touchdowns. Head coach for Plainfield is Tyler Bless, who's 6-1 in his first season with the Quakers. Head coach for Whiteland is Darren Fisher, who's 133-77 in his 19th season with the Warriors, and 194-149 in his 33rd year overall. He previously served as head coach for Cascade. He's won 5 sectionals, 1 regional, and 1 semi-state for Whiteland, and 1 sectional for Cascade. Well, at this time, we'll take a short break for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the opening kickoff. Plainfield Whiteland coming at you live under the Friday Night Lights. Next. The Plainfield, this broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is brought to you by DJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gannell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellis & Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D BBQ. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I appreciate your coach, Cassie. Early 90s, yeah.
He was at the Marquis.
Oh, in Iowa? Oh, cool. I didn't know.
All right. Yeah, I didn't know you'd ever been out of state, but yeah, I've got family in Iowa, so I'll have to film that. Oh, cool. Now you have your Caden Vanderbush, our wide receiver from a couple of years ago. He's a redshirt freshman for the Hawkeyes now.
Oh, yeah. I know Marshall had their kicker from
Well, back here at Whiteland, we're just about to kick off here. We got 2:15 to go on the pregame clock. We've got Eye of the Tiger by Survivor playing. Of course, if you've listened to my broadcast this year, you know I've talked a lot about the importance of our kids keeping the Eye of the Tiger. And now the Warriors are coming out onto the field to a loud ovation from this crowd. You know, this has been a rough year for Whiteland. They've been the most consistently winning team here in the Mid-State Conference over the last 15 years under head coach Derek Fisher. But they're having a down year this year. They currently only have one of the five leading rushers from last season's team that narrowly lost the Class 5A state championship game to Valparaiso, 35-31. Two of the top five rushers were seniors, Jack Crowley and Peyton Emberton, and then of the other three, Slade Valentine is playing very well, but Nereus Moore-Smith moved, and Malik Perkins suffered an injury back in week two against Kokomo. So it's been a rough year for the Warriors. They've limped to a 3-4 start, but they've still got a very large crowd, probably 75-80%, and that will pause for the national anthem. Well, thank you to Cassandra Hoy, who I believe they said was a the PA announcer said was a student here at Whiteland for that lovely a cappella rendition of the national anthem. And like I said, I think we have about 75-80% capacity here on the Whiteland side. We have about 150-200 Quakers fans across the field in the visiting bleachers, and it's solid. Well, we've got a group of like 15 walking in a line. They just turned the corner around the track walking over to the Plainfield side. So it looks like it's understandably a late arriving Plainfield crowd. It is under normal circumstances, this would probably be about a 40-minute drive under 465/US-31 traffic conditions, probably well over an hour. When I worked downtown, my cutoff time anytime I had a game at Whiteland, Greenwood, or Franklin, my cutoff time to leave was 3:30 because otherwise I literally risked missing the game because traffic could get so bad. And now we just had the now we got the captains outside for the coin toss right now. But anyway, okay, good. Blankfield will score first. So hopefully we'll do what we did last week against Franklin, score first, get the other team in the hole. Whiteland right now is largely a one-man offense. Clay Valentine, he's almost got 1,000 yards on the season, but he's not getting much help. He's the only one of Whiteland's awesome five-prong rushing attack from last year who's currently playing at full strength for the Warriors. Two of those players have graduated, one has moved, and then another has been injured for most of the season. So now Quakers back deep to receive. We've got, it looks like Caden Vanderbush and Jameer Bowie. Yes, as my son correctly pointed out, Thunderstruck by AC/DC is on the PA now. Although the fans are singing another song. What's the name of that song, Liam? So now it's an onside kick. And Whiteland got it. Oh, my God. And you know, I give head coach Darren Fisher a lot of credit for that call. He's the dean of Mid-State Conference coaches, 19 years on the job now. And, man, that was, I think Whiteland probably feels that, you know, as much of a favorite as Plainfield is in this game, Whiteland thinks, you know, maybe they're going to have to get a few big plays like that to win this game, and one of their biggest keys is taking a possession away from Plainfield, so we'll see how the Quakers defense responds. So now, handoff there, and he's around the right side, and he gets up about, that was the Caden Davidson there, he is a senior, he gets about 8 yards on the rush. So they mark it at the 41, second and 9 now. So disappointing start. And of course, Whiteland now gets the ball the second half too. So Whiteland, being as bold as Plainfield's been this year, got to give him the credit for that, coming at 3-4. And now, Jordan Palmer on the carry. I think he does have the first down. He got the 2 yards he needed and maybe one more. Jordan Palmer, also the name of a former NFL quarterback, the younger brother of Carson Palmer. They gave him credit for 4, so 1st and 10 at the Plainfield 33. Warriors opened the game with a successful onside kick. 11:07 to go now. First possession of the game. Now Valentine gets it for the first time. He's averaging about 7 a carry, and he gets about 3 or 4 there. Whiteland has a, they give Valentine credit for their, Whiteland has a 6.3-1 rush pass ratio. They've had 3 plays in this game. Each was a rush by a different guy. Their quarterback is Ollie Taylor. He does not throw a lot, however. Now gives it to, Valentine again. And they're ready for him, but he still plows his way up close to the first down. Valentine likely to cross the 1,000-yard mark on the season tonight. He should be a big college prospect next year. They give him credit for 5. So 3rd and 1 now at the 27 for the Warriors. 10:02 to go in the first quarter. No score. Game 8 of 9 in the regular season. This is Plainfield's last regular season road game. They close out on senior day against Martinsville next week. And now do a rush up the middle. That was Jordan Palmer. He might have just got, just barely got the first down. So first and goal at the 26 following the 1 yard rush by Palmer. He's carried twice at him for 5 yards. Yep. 9:35 to go, Ann County here in the first quarter on a cool early autumn evening in Whiteland, Plainfield, trying to go to 7-1 on the season. And now the player's tripped up, just gets a little bit. I believe it was Valentine again.
Who was it on the carry?
Okay, that was Dane Coons there with his first carry. Give him credit for three. So four different Warriors have already rushed on this first drive. So now they send a couple of wide receivers out for the first time. And now pitch back, and he's got room on the left side. He's got the first down and more inside the 10, inside the 5, and he's pushed out of bounds around the 4. That was Jordan Palmer, his third and by far best carry of the game. Pick up about 18 or 19 there, so it's going to be first and goal. They give him a better spot than I thought, up to the 2. So that's a 21-yard pickup there. So Plainfield in trouble now. Got to get a stop here, boys. But I got to give Whiteland all the credit in the world for that very courageous onside kick that seemed to completely catch the Quakers off guard. So now, and off, and he's into the end zone for a touchdown. Coons. Well, an eight-play drive for the Warriors. All rushes, they consume 326. Now the Quakers, Warriors on the extra point here. Noah Pope is 14-16 on the season. This one is up, and it is good. All right, well, got to get those points back now. And what's really discouraging is that Plainfield on that first drive, granted it's early, but they did not show that they can contain this Whiteland offense. It's only one possession, but certainly a concern. 8 plays, and they rushed 44 yards. That's 5.5 yards a carry. And, you only need 3.4 to keep the clock and the chains moving. So clearly Whiteland came to play here. That's what you expect from a Darren Fisher-coached team. They're playing like a team that went to the state championship game last year, not a team that enters this game at 3-4 and unranked. All right, so will they go for 2 onside kicks? Not likely, but let's see here. Once again, we got Bowie and Vanderbush back to 3C. Yeah, it's like a very, and now it's taken up to 35, up to the 40, and about 42, a very short kick. I thought he might fair catch it, but he took it up for about 7 yards, and we got a Warriors player slow to get up here. But he does get up on his own power, just walking off the field groggily now. Hopefully it is not serious. So Plainfield does take over. They start their first offensive possession, pretty good field position in a 7-0 hole. So now we got two receivers to the left, one to the right. Hunter Newell in shotgun. One running back, 8:28 to go. Plainfield down 7-0. Screen pass completed to Miller, and he's knocked out of bounds after picking up about 7 or 8. Give him credit for 7. So a good offensive start for the Quakers. So we're already in Whiteland territory at the 49, second and three, 8:23 to go up county. Two receivers now to the left, one to the right, one running back. Hunter Newland, shotgun. The snap. Hands off now, and he's got some room around the right side, and he gets up for the first down. He gets up about five or six. Luke Starnes, 11 touchdowns on the game. At least one touchdown in every game with a high of four against Greenwood back in week five. He picks up seven now on the first rush of the game for the Quakers. So first down and 10 at the Whiteland 42. Just got to be composed. Shake off that touchdown that Whiteland got. So two receivers now to the left. Starnes in at running back. And now fix that up. Starnes screen pass over to the left. It is caught by Miller. He's got room around the left, and he gets five or six. So both the passes by Newell so far have gone to Miller. Both completions. Second and five. So second and five at the 37 now. Screen pass again. It is complete, and he's going to be brought down about 2 yards short of the first. Miller again. So it's going to be a big third and short for the Quakers, obviously in four down territory, 7:10 to go and counting. Pick up on a three there. Third and two now at the third and two at the Whiteland 35, Plainfield trailing by seven. Two receivers now to the right. One running back. Now Starnes gets it, and he plows forward. I think he's going to be a yard short. I think they're going to give him forward progress up for 1 yard, but let's see. 6:55 to go, yeah. Fourth and one now. So the Quakers presumably will go for it. Fourth and one at the Whiteland 33, 6:42 to go. Boy, this would be devastating if we didn't get this. And he drops this. He drops it. He fumbles it, picks it up, but he's brought down for a loss. Oh, no. So now the pressure cranked up heavily on Plainfield's defense now. Newell bobbled the snap, and he did get his hands on it, but he was brought down for a loss. Oh, no. So Whiteland takes over at their own 35. We got to get a stop here. We got to get a stop. And keep in mind, Whiteland at 6.3-1 rush-pass ratio coming into the night. And that's typical for a Darren Fisher coached team, by the way. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right for the Warriors. And now we've got a short gain there of 2 or 3 yards. Andrian Caligbo there with his first carry of the game. He's already the fifth Warrior to rush now. Give him credit for four. Second and six now at the 39 for Whiteland. Nearly halfway through this first quarter, Whiteland 7, Plainfield 0. The Warriors opened the game with a successful onside kick, quickly scored, then Plainfield turned it over on downs at the Whiteland 35. Now it's second and six for the Warriors on their ensuing possession. And now we got the play is whistled dead. False start against the Warriors, backs it up 5 yards. Good break for the Quakers. That brings up second and 11. 5:49 to go. The clock stops. Whiteland has beaten Plainfield 12 of the last 13 times. They beat the Warriors. They beat the Warriors six consecutive times from 2011 to 2016. The Warriors beat us six consecutive times. Oh, hold that thought. Anyway, so now the Warriors line up again, and it's a run up the middle, and he gets about six or seven, so it's going to be a third and short. Valentine, he gained 4 or 5 yards after contact, got up to close to the first down. Valentine, by far the MVP of this game, and they even put up for 9 on that one, bringing up 3rd and 2. Got to get a stop here, boys. Anyway, the Warriors beat the Quakers every year from 2011 to 2016. Plainfield won in 2017. The Warriors have won all 6 matchups since then, including in the regional last year, 49-14. So now, it's got the first down and more up to about the 50, past midfield. Valentine again for about 8. Valentine Jr., 5'10", 156, not a big guy, but runs fast and hard. So now one receiver to the left, and now a handoff across the left side. He's brought down. That was Caligbo. Andrian Caligbo there with his second rush. He gets about 3 on that one. They give him credit for 3. 2nd and 7 now for the Warriors at the Plainfield. 47, 4:10 to go. 7:18 your time of day. Plainfield has not shown yet that they can contain this rushing offense for Whiteland, which is nowhere near what it was last year, but it looks probably the best tonight that it's looked all season. And now rushing from the middle for 3 or 4, I believe that was Valentine. Yes, Valentine. Valentine's going to have a lot of college offers next year when he's a senior. Give him credit for 4 on that one. He has the game high, 5 carries, 3rd and 3 now for the Warriors at the Plainfield, 43, 3:27 to go. It's a very fast moving game. High formation now for the Warriors. And now he gets moving up the line on the flag. So I've got a couple of officials deliberating. Offside against the playing field, so 5 yards, Warriors first down. So Whiteland first and 10 is the 38. We've got to get a stop here, boys. If we go down 2 possessions to a predominantly rushing team, we're in trouble. And this could be a Whiteland team that's starting to hit its stride after that rough start. You know, and now we've got another whistle here before the teams were even fully in stance. False start against the Warriors, so good break for the Quakers. Back to the 5s, and now at 1st and 15. Gives our defense a little bit of cushion. Clock stops 3:01 to go here in the first quarter. Whiteland having a rare down year under head coach Darren Fisher. He's in his 19th year with the Warriors. 5 sectionals. A 5-sectional championship with the team took them all the way to the Class 5A state championship game last year when they had an awesome 5-prong rushing attack. So now quarterback under center, and now a pitch back there to Palmer. He's got some room on the right side. He could have the first down. He does, and he's inside the 25 up to about the 20. So Palmer with the second big rush of the game. Let's see where they mark him. It looked to me like he was knocked out right around the 20. Okay, there's a flag I did not see. It looks like it's going to be coming back. Holding, okay. Very big break for the Quakers here. Because we have not been able to contain Whiteland's rushing offense tonight. So some, you know, guys for... there's some guys who are really stepping up tonight for the Warriors and try to establish themselves as, you know, the guys to replace, you know, the guys who led the team to the state championship game last year. So now first and 20 now at the 47. Now And or a handoff, and he gets up for about 6 yards. That was Davidson. He picks up about six, but still going to be well short of the first down. Davidson, in his second carry of the game, he had 8 on his first, gets 6 there. So 2nd and 13 now for the Warriors, 2:28 to go in the quarter. We've got to get them off the field here. They've committed a couple of penalties on this drive. We've got to take advantage of it. Come on, boys. So now one receiver out to the left, and now a handoff, and he gets up for about 3 or 4. It's going to be 3rd and long. That was Valentine again, his 6th carry of the game. Gets up about 3 or 4. Third and 10, so 3 for Valentine there. I have him 6 for 33. So 3rd and 10 for the Warriors at the Plainfield 38. Got to get him off the field here. Warriors very well might be in 4th down territory, especially if they get within 5 of the first on this play. They have not passed yet. Keep in mind, they don't pass much. And now, good coverage there, and he's brought down, Valentine's brought down for only about 2, so it's going to be a 4th down. It looks like the Warriors are going to punt. Of course, they went for a successful, they did a successful fake onside kick to start the game. As Valentine gets 3 there on his 7th carry of the game. Or are they going to go for it? Yeah, they're lining up to go for it. Under a minute to go in the quarter now, 4th and 7 at the 35. This will be devastating if they get this. And now Duck cut to pass, and it is. Did he get it? It's complete. Did he get the 1st down? Yeah, Taylor threw to Caligo. Yeah, he did get the 1st. It was very close. He was brought down immediately. So it's like a trip back to last year, failing to get him off the field. So Ollie Taylor finally in the last minute makes his first pass of the game, and it goes to Caligo for 9 yards in the 1st down, 36 seconds to go and counting now. 1st and 10 at the Plainfield 26, 29 seconds to go in the quarter. 9 on the play clock. And now he takes her on the left side, but good coverage. Well, he finds some room on the corner, though, and he gets a few yards. That was Caligo there with his 3rd rush of the game. 14.9 seconds to go, and the clock stops. Yeah, they said he got the 1st down. Yeah, it looks like they were going to bring him down for a short game, but he found a little hole on the left side, and so found a little open field and took advantage. 14.9 seconds to go now, 1st and 10 at the Plainfield 15 for Whiteland. We have not stopped the Warriors' whole game. We've got to do that here. Our offense has barely been on the field. And now it's from, Valentine gets up for about 3. And that will likely be the end of the quarter. Yes, it will. So after 12 minutes of play here at Whiteland, very concerning start. Your Plainfield Quakers are falling in a 7-0 hole to the Whiteland Warriors and are in danger of going down 14-0. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is brought to you by CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Ganell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellis and Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Whiteland, a very concerning start to this game for Plainfield. Whiteland kicked off first, went for an onside kick, recovered, got a quick touchdown on a 2-yard rush from Dane Kuntz, and an extra point from Noah Pope. Then Plainfield turned it over on downs at the Whiteland 35, and the Warriors now have it 2nd and 5 at the Plainfield 10. Got to get a stop here, boys. So one running back, one receiver out to the left. Pitch back now. And he stopped right around the line of scrimmage, so good coverage there. Valentine again, Valentine's 9th carry of the game. He is by far the team's leading rusher on the season. The 950 yards on the season coming into tonight, although they stopped him dead in his tracks right there. So, we really can't afford to let them have a touchdown on this possession. That would make it, you know, even if there's a missed extra point, 13-0, which that's too high risk against a predominantly rushing team to come back when they can look the clock so well, and we haven't shown we can contain their rushing. So now, two running backs in the backfield, and now pitch back, and he gets a couple of yards, but he's short of the first down, so it'll be 4th and short. Valentine again. Give him credit for 3. 4th and 2 at the 7. Will they go for it, or will they go for a field goal by Noah Pope? I think they're going to go for it. This would be huge if they if we stop them here. Come on, boys, make the play of your lives right here. So 2 running backs there. The snap, and he's, I think we might have stopped him. It's going to be really close. They gave it to Davidson. Waiting for the, okay, we stopped him. We stopped him for a 1-yard gain. All right, so big relief for the Quakers. Only we're lucky it's only 7-0. It really should be 14-0 right now, but we get a big break there. Now the offense, has got to do their part. 94 yards away from the end zone, 10:21 to go here in the 2nd quarter. Very fast-paced game already. Okay. 7:29 your time of day. So now 2 receivers out to the right, 1 to the left. 1 running back, Newell and shotgun standing right in front of in front of the end zone. And now we got a rush up there, and I believe that's Starnes, and he gets about 5. So good start to the drive. Plainfield, that's only Plainfield's 6th offensive play of the game. That's how much Whiteland has dominated time of possession. Obviously, we got to change that. 2nd and 5 at our own 11 now. 9:54 to go and counting here in the 2nd quarter, trailing Whiteland 7-0. We just got a very big stop on 4th and 2 there. So 2 receivers deep side. Newland shotgun, 1 running back, drops back, screen pass. He's got a first down throughout the 25. All right. That was Miller there. So Miller, Newell's thrown 4 passes, all to Miller, all completions. 14 on that one. Miller, the team's 3rd leading receiver on the season, finally got his first touchdown last week in that big win over Franklin. So 1st and 10 now at the 26. Screen pass to Vanderbush, and he's up, and he dove. He might have gotten the first down. If not, it'll be close. Depends on the spot. So Vanderbush gets his first reception of the game. That was the first time that Newell had thrown to anybody other than Miller. Give him credit for 7 there. 2nd and 3 now for the Quakers. Newell has completed all 5 of his passes. So 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right now. Starnes gets it. He's got the first down and more past the 45. So a gain of about 13 by Luke Starnes. And we're starting to, the offense finally starting to, you know, get on track here. Starting the fourth rush of the game, by far his longest one. I had him 13 on his first three combined. I have him for 13 on that one. So, first and 10 at our own 46. Now three receivers to the right, under the left. Starnes in there at running back. Newell takes it. No, I'm sorry. Now Weston, now he takes the handoff to Weston Raybridge. And now Newell takes it himself. He's got the first down up to about the 40. Newell with his first keeper of the game. And so they move up, they mark up to 39, so give them credit there for 15. Newell has had a quietly effective season on the ground. Got the go-ahead touchdown in week one against Terre Haute South. And we led the rest of the way after that. So first and 10 at the Whiteland 39, now 8:18 to go in the second quarter, trailing by 7. Two receivers to the right. I believe it's Vanderbush out to the left. And now takes the handoff, rolls right, screen pass complete, and knocked out of bounds after about 7. Okay. Give him credit for 8 there. That was Bowie on his first reception. Bowie having a very good breakthrough junior season. So now one receiver at each side, one running back. Now handoff, he's got some room on, but he's going to be short of the first down. I believe that was Waywich there. Okay, illegal motion against Plainfield, so just got to shake it off. So the clock stops, 7:58 to go. Plainfield now has the ball at their own at the white 136, second and 7, 7:58 to go. Vanderbush lined up to the left, and I believe Bowie now joining Vanderbush over on the left. Now one receiver on the right, one running back. Yeah, so it's Bowie and Vanderbush to the left, one running back. 12 on the play clock. Second and 7 at the 36. Pitch back. He's got some room. He's at past the 35. And they brought down for good. Good job adjusting to that by the Whiteland defense. That was Starnes in there. Yeah, I thought he had a good look when they made the handoff, but the three Whiteland guys, you know, got over there and brought him down. So a very big 36 for the Quakers, though, at the Whiteland 35 in four down territory, especially at the stage of the game. Already nearly a 3/8 of the way through this game. This is only their second possession. So now Newell drops back, pass up the middle, and it is bobbled and dropped. 6:43, so that'll bring up 4th and 6. That's the first incompletion for Newell on the game. Oh, did they say he caught it? Oh, they bobbled it. They said that he didn't make the catch. Okay. So, no way, that's a big break. So we got the first down then. Oh, wow. That is... That faked me out. So, now... 6:31 to go. The Quakers, the boy, that's a big relief there. And now a screen pass up to Vanderbush, and he makes it for the touchdown. Yes. All right, so an extra point away from tying it now. Oh, man. Oh, boy. And now we're an extra point away from tying it, or a two-point conversion away from taking the lead. And we do go for the two more times than not. Man, so Vanderbush took it in, showing why he's on his way to play Division 1A ball, headed for the to play for the Western University Michigan Broncos next year. And then we've got 2-1 conversion is good. So we got the lead. Oh, my God. Who would have believed that a few minutes ago when we were about to go down 14-0, but this team, you know, they're playing with the heart of champions. You know, I was afraid they were going to fall in. You know, we were on the verge of it, but we came back strong on a 94-yard drive there. Hunter Newell now, by my count, eighth grade in the game. Four completions to Miller, two for Vanderbush, including a touchdown, two for Bowie. And, you know, I said earlier a few times that Plainfield has not shown in this game that they can contain the Whiteland's offense. And at the same time, after this drive, Whiteland has not shown that, I said Plainfield has not shown they can contain Whiteland's pass. Plainfield has not shown they can contain Whiteland's rushing offense, but on that drive, Whiteland did not show that they could contain Plainfield's passing offense. So that was the first score in over a quarter's worth of action. The only previous score coming with 8:34 to go in the first quarter. So Plainfield kicking off for the first time in this game. Remember, Whiteland does get the ball, and the ball falls off the tee. Remember, Whiteland does get the ball first to start the half, the second half. Wild and crazy game, 7:38 your time of day. And now the ball's fallen off the tee twice now. It was 61 degrees a few minutes before kickoff. This was the coldest game that Plainfield has played in all year. But I've always guessed that and now the Plainfield kicker is holding the ball on the tee, which is legal. So deep kick, and it looks like it's going to go out of the end zone. If it stays in bounds, yes, touchback. So what we got to do now is just hold the Warriors. Now, both teams have 3 timeouts left, and that could be a factor. But if we can just keep Whiteland if we can keep Whiteland from scoring the remainder of the half, that's very critical, because if they score a touchdown on this possession, especially if they consume 4 or 5 minutes or more to do it and we don't have much time left, then that makes it likely they're going to take that touchdown lead into the locker room and then have a chance to come out and take a 2-possession lead to start the second half. So our defense better be on top of its game here. So now the Warriors start 1st and 10 at their own 20. And now we're right on top of him, and we bring him down, Valentine. So and the last few times that Valentine's had the ball, he hasn't. We've held him, you know, in check pretty well. No gain, all right. So hopefully we're starting to, you know, figure it out on our rushing defense. 5:54 to go now, 2nd and 10 for the Warriors. It would be great if we could get him into a 3rd and long here. Whiteland, by the way, has only thrown 1 pass on the game. One running back. And now pitch back, and he's brought down for just a short gain, maybe 1 or 2. That was Palmer. By my count, his 5th carry of the game. Give him credit for only 1, so 3rd and 9. All right. And we got to get him off the field here. Got to get him off the field. That's all there is to it. Plainfield 8. And you know, by the way, this is, you know, where the our 2-point conversion habit, you know, comes in handy. We're so good at getting the 2-point conversion that, you know, it was the difference in the margin of victory in our first two home games against Harrison and Perry Meridian. We had 1-point victory in each game. And now it's the 2nd pass, and it's over his head. And I think the crowd here wanted pass interference but did not get it. So 4th and 9, presumably the Warriors will punt here, so Plainfield will have a chance to build on that lead. That was only the 2nd pass of the game by Ollie Taylor, the quarterback for the Warriors. He is a junior, 6 feet, 157. Taylor only 46 passes coming into tonight, having completed 20 of them through the first seven games, not even seven passes a game. So now the one man back deep receiver for the Quakers, standing just behind the 50 at Starnes. And now it takes a Plainfield bounce and it's down around the Whiteland 47. So Plainfield with 4:44 to go in the first half and all three timeouts takes over at the Whiteland 47 with a one-point lead. Keep in mind that if okay, I was just listening to that announcement. But keep in mind that it is very likely that these two teams will meet for the regionals. So obviously whoever wins this game will have a psychological edge. So that will be a rematch of the regional from last year, the first ever playoff matchup between these two teams. So now Plainfield starts an offense, three receivers to the right, one to the left. Picks the handoff, screen pass, complete over on the right side, and he gets up for about six or seven. Did you catch you about that? Okay, Marcus Rivera. So Marcus Rivera for 7 yards there on that catch, his first reception of the game. He's had some good moments for us. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. And now handoff to Starnes. And he's got the first down and more. The change instructions a couple of times inside the 30. Pick up about 13 yards for Luke Starnes. All right. His last one went for 13. I think that's about what they're going to give him on this one. Yeah, so two consecutive, it's the second 13-yard gain for Luke Starnes in this game. I have him 6 for 40 now. For first and 10 for the Quakers at their own 27, at the Whiteland 27, excuse me, leading 8-7. Nearly went down 14-0, made a great stop on fourth and two. Took over at our own six and got a touchdown. Now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Fixed handoff, screen pass to Bowie, but he dropped it. It was a little bit low. So that's the first incompletion for the game for Newell after nine completions. So okay, boys, you shake it off. But it's, you know, even though we got the lead by 1 point, I still consider this an urgent situation. I think we really need to get the lead into the locker room because, you know, I don't want to go in with just a one possession lead with Whiteland getting the ball first to start to the second half and having overall rush pretty well against us, so our rushing defense has gotten better. So now, screen pass, and he breaks the tackle, gets inside the 10. So it's going to be first and goal. So Rivera with his second consecutive reception of the game. Give him credit for 18 on that one. That pushes Newell over the 100-yard mark. So now first and goal for the nine, first and goal at the nine for the Quakers, 3:44 to go and counting. We lead by one, 8-7. A 2-point conversion, the difference. So now screen pass, it is complete, and he gets up for about four. So Starnes with his first reception of the game. Newell has completed 11 of 12 passes on the game. The fifth different Quaker to catch. Starnes the 4 yards there. Starnes becomes the first, Starnes the fifth Quaker to catch a pass tonight. Second and goal at the five. Come on, boys. Let's finish the job here. And now now a handoff, but they're right on top of him. They bring it down for a loss. Very big play for the Warriors defense. You got to give them credit. They're playing like they feel the urgency here. So I believe that was Starnes there who was brought down for the loss. And Plainfield takes his first time out with 2:46 to go here in the quarter after that 4-yard loss. Yeah, so the 4-yard, negative 4 yards there by Luke Starnes, arguably the MVP of this team this season. It would be huge for the Warriors if they stopped us from getting the touchdown here. And I'll tell you, if we got a field goal on this drive, and we are in the range of both Cameron Grimes and Leo Hayop, that would make it 11-7. So, you know, I think it'd be worth going for a field goal if it came to that, but we really got to go for the touchdown here, especially because, you know, I don't want Whiteland to have a chance to get the ball, and I don't want Whiteland to have a chance to take the lead when they get the ball first to start the second half. And in particular, if we get the touchdown, a two-point conversion, it's 16-7, so that's a two-possession lead. And that, you know, suddenly really changes the strategy of the game for Whiteland because, you know, when they're a predominantly rushing team, and even when they score, they often consume several minutes doing it. So that could really change their game plan and force them to pass a lot more than they want to. So anyway, three receivers. Oh, and now we got a flag here. Let's see what it's against the Quakers. So now all of a sudden, third and goal at 14 on that false start penalty, 2:45 to go. Come on, boys, you got to get this. And, I mean, now we're to the point now where, I mean, this will be a 31-yard field goal from here. So, I mean, this is not exactly a chip shot field goal for either of them. They're capable of making it, but hopefully we won't put them in that position where it hinges on them hitting a field goal. So now Newell drops back. He's got plenty of time. And now he's under pressure, and he gets rid of it. So 2:37 to go. So good job clamping down by the Warriors defense when it was second and goal at the 5. Yeah, a 4-yard loss on Starnes, followed by a 5-yard false start penalty on Plainfield, followed by Newell throwing it away under pressure, and now we've got a field goal attempt here that would make it 11-7. Steve, is this? I can't. 90. So let's see. That is Leo Hayob. And it's blocked. And it's blocked. And it's a live ball. And now they've got it. And, oh, no. So he's brought down at the Franklin 25. So Plainfield squanders a golden opportunity to take a one-touchdown, if not two-possession lead there, depending on what happens with the conversion. 2:28 to go. Whiteland still with all three timeouts. So, we've got to, at the very least, stop them from scoring in the remainder of the half. At the very least, 7:50 your time of day. So now the Warriors in an I formation here. And now it's passed, and running back, and he gets it to a running back, and he gets up. That was Caden Davidson. Caden Davidson picking up about 12, so he's got the first down. The clock does stop to move the chains. That was, I have Davidson 4 for 26 now. So first and 10 for Whiteland at their own 36, 2:13 to go, and 2:13 to go in counting. They do have all three timeouts, which is very critical at this point. That greatly helps them. And now, a handoff on a reverse. And that was Davidson again. He picks up about 5, so the clock keeps on ticking. They're not using a timeout yet. We can probably afford to let them have a lot of, and they give them credit for 6 there, but they can probably afford to let them have a lot of 5 and 6 yard gains as long as we keep them in bounds. So 1:38 to go, and I'm a little surprised they haven't used the timeout yet. But, you know, let's see here. So 2nd and 4 for Whiteland at their own 42, Plainfield 8, Whiteland 7, 2-point conversion being the difference here. Snap. And now he's got some room over on the right, but he trips. He trips. And he for a gain of, I believe it was Caligo there. And now Whiteland, I believe, has finally used his first timeout with 1:09 to go. Still at their own. No, they said no gain there. So, with let me catch my breath here. With 109 to go here in the second quarter at Whiteland, your score, Plainfield 8, Whiteland 7. The Warriors have the ball, 3rd and 3, at their own 43, following a missed field goal by Leo Hayob that was blocked. Plainfield had the ball 2nd and goal at the Whiteland 5, but came away with no points. Nevertheless, after their first drive, they have moved the ball very well on their two ensuing possessions, although failing to get that failing to get any points on the last drive, it does underscore their need to finish drives more consistently. I think that's one of the few things they need to polish. Other than that, this team does have the potential for a very deep playoff run. So, very, very big 3rd and 3 now for Whiteland. They still have 2 timeouts left. Plainfield has 2 also. And now, let's see, it takes it around the right side. I believe he does have the first. That was Valentine with his first carry in a while. He got off to a strong start, then we started covering him better. But he does pick up the first down there. With 1:03 to go, the clock will stop to move the chains. And I couldn't tell because it was the other side of the field, but it looked to me like he did, get out of bounds. So, 55 seconds to go and counting. So I guess he didn't get out of bounds then. First and 10 for Whiteland at their own 47. Getting information here. 3 seconds on the play clock. He gets it off. And he takes it on the left side, but only gets about 1 or 2 yards. So they're. Who's that on the floor? So that was Kuntz there, who had the only touchdown for the Warriors. And looks like they got no gain there. And they haven't used a timeout here, so maybe they're just. Let's see here, 15 seconds to go. Now they're doing some shifting here. Wide receiver to each side. Now 9 seconds to go. And now trick play. They got a man open, but it's underthrown, and the clock stops at 3.7 seconds to go.
Who threw that?
That was a trick play. Davidson actually threw that pass there, only the 3rd pass of the game by the Warriors. It was well underthrown. They did have a man open. So 3rd and 10 at the 48 for the Warriors. So likely to be the last play of the half. I'm surprised that Whiteland didn't use more of their timeouts. So now reverse there. And he stays on his feet, but he is brought down after a gain of about 10. That was Dane Kuntz there. So Wild and Woolly, a tense first half. Your Plainfield Quakers with the slimmest of margins, they lead the arch-rival Whiteland Warriors 8-7 here. And we've got an injury. There's a player who has not gotten up. I cannot tell who he is from my vantage point. He's being attended to by personnel. It's a Plainfield Quaker, but I cannot see his number from my vantage point. Hopefully this is not serious. 4. Okay. So... Oh, he's at 54. So we got the halftime clock set to 20 minutes. Okay, we'll go ahead and do the ads here, and then, you know, hopefully I'll have some information about the injury. The player, by the way, he is, it looks like he's moving his arms and legs, so that's good, but he still is lying on his back. Okay, now he's lifted one leg. So, all right, well, we'll have more information on that when I get back. At halftime here at Whiteland, your score, Plainfield 8, Whiteland 7. We'll be back. We'll be back after your reports from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. Tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is brought to you by TJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Ganell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design, Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, business partners. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Plainfield, we're at halftime with your Plainfield Quakers in a very tense, extremely tight game. Very lucky to have a one-point lead over the host Whiteland Warriors by a score of 8-7. And now we have a Quaker who is injured on the last play of the half. And now he is being helped onto a golf cart. He is standing and walking with assistance toward the golf cart. It is number 54 for the Quakers. That is Jacob Lackey. He is a junior, 5'11", 285. We wish him a full and speedy recovery. Just a second here. Just a moment, I'm just opening the stat sheet here. Hold on here. It got another failure notice.
Oh, okay.
Back here at Whiteland, we are at halftime with your Plainfield Quakers leading the Whiteland Warriors by a score of 8-7. It's been a very tense game with the playoff-type atmosphere here on this first game in October. And I apologize for that, listener. I was trying to send the stat sheet to a journalist here in the press box with me, but we were having technical difficulties. But anyway, it's a game in which Plainfield came in as a clear favorite. They entered the game at 6-1 and ranked number 6 here in the state in Class 5A in the AP poll. Meanwhile, Whiteland, though they come in, having made the state championship game in Class 5A last year, and having beaten Plainfield 6 straight times in 12 of the last 13, the Quakers came in as the favorite today. Whiteland having an off year, a rare off year under Darren Fisher at 3-4. They currently only have one player, active player from of the top five rushers from last year's state runner-up team. But nevertheless, Whiteland came out. They came out with a relentless determination to get this season turned around. On they Plainfield won the opening. Plainfield won the coin toss and elected to receive. However, Whiteland pulled off a successful onside kick, and then. Whiteland recovered an onside kick on the opening kickoff of the game, and then on their first possession scored on a 2-yard touchdown rush from Dean Koontz with 8:34 to go here in the first quarter, and Noah Polk hit the extra point, making the score 7-0. And then Plainfield turned it over on downs at the Whiteland 35 on their first possession. And then Whiteland drove the ball all the way down to the to a 4th-and-2 at the Plainfield 7. However, on a rush, Plainfield stopped the Warriors 1 yard short of the first down, and then came down the field, moved the ball very efficiently, and with 6:21 to go in the second quarter. Scored on a 27-yard touchdown pass from Caden Vanderbush, from 100-year-old Caden Vanderbush, and then Brandon Henry rushed in the 2-point conversion to give Plainfield the lead at 8-7. Whiteland went 3-and-out in the next possession, and then Plainfield came all the way down and got a second and goal at the Whiteland 5. However, then Luke Starnes was tackled for a 4-yard loss, and then a 5-yard penalty back Plainfield up to a 14. And then after an incomplete pass, Leo Hayob attempted a field goal, a 31-yard field goal, which was blocked. And then the clock ran out on Whiteland's ensuing drive. A look at the individual statistics, first of all, for Plainfield. Hunter Newell has completed 10 of 12 passes for 104 yards and one touchdown, no interceptions. Balanced receiving attack. Isaiah Miller has 4 receptions for 35 yards. Caden Vanderbush has 3 for 36 and a touchdown. Marcos Rivera, 2 for 25. And Jameer Bowie, 2 for 1. On the ground, not as much to report as usual. Luke Starnes has rushed 8 times for 45 times. Luke Starnes has rushed 8 times for 45 yards. Hunter Newell, 1 for 15. Meanwhile for Whiteland, Ollie Taylor has completed 1 of 2 passes for 9 yards, no touchdowns and no interceptions. Caden Davidson has completed 0 of 1 passes for 0 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. That coming on a fake late in the first half. The only reception is Andrian Kalibo. That was for 9 yards. On the ground, Whiteland's done well, but not exceedingly well like they often do. Blake Valentine has rushed 12 times for 47 yards. Jordan Palmer, 5 for 34. Caden Davidson, 5 for 32. And Andrian Kalibo, 4 for 19. Now, we've got 11:38 to go here on the pregame clock, and heading into the second half, 11:38 to go on the halftime clock. There's some kind of marching band thing going on in the field now. And anyway, Heading into the second half, like I said, Whiteland gets the ball first. We've got to contain them, first of all. I mean, if Whiteland does not get any points on their first drive of the second half, then, you know, we're in good shape. And then if we score on our first possession, you know, we've got a pretty good grip on this one, you know, especially if we get the two-point conversion, because that would make it a two-possession lead. That would be 16-7. So, you know, we've just got to just stay composed and stay calm, play confident, but play cautious. Make sure we don't let them go crazy. We did contain their rushing offense better after the first possession, and especially, I think, when we made that stop on 4th and 2 at our own 7, when it looked like they were going to go up 14-0, I think that gave us a much-needed jolt of confidence, and the game seems to turn on that play. It's disappointing that we did not get any points when we had a 2nd and 5 when we had a second goal at the Whiteland 5. And again, that's just a reminder, we've got to finish drives more consistently. But I give, you know, I give our kids a lot of credit for coming back when it looked like they were going to fall in, you know, and I didn't want them heading into next week's regular season finale, our senior day against Martinsville, having lost 2 of our last 3. We will probably beat Martinsville next week. Not a guarantee, but as long as we play at least our B game, it shouldn't be too much of a problem. The Artesians are a solid 4A team, but certainly beatable, and we've beaten them, you know, a lot more often than not over the years. I think we were shaken. I think we were unprepared for that game opening onside kick. You know, that was a very brave, bold, spit-in-your-eyes move there by Darren Fisher. I give him all the credit in the world for it, and they pulled it off. And I think that really injected a sense of confidence and enthusiasm into Whiteland, thinking that they had a shot to win this. And I think when they scored easily on the first possession, and then we turned it over on downs, and then they almost scored on the second possession, our guys were shaken. Like, what's going on here? And had they gotten that 14-0 lead, I think this would be a much different game right now, because, you know, when a predominantly rushing team that, you know, knows how to milk the clock like Whiteland does, has that kind of a lead, then, you know, you can be in big trouble. And keep in mind that I've commentated 127 varsity football games, counting tonight, and not counting about 4 running clock games, including last week's. Only 2 games, 2 of those games have finished in under 2 hours, and one of them was Plainfield at Whiteland right here 2 years ago. And that's, you know, Whiteland finishes games very quickly when they're playing against a team that doesn't throw a lot, because Whiteland throws so little. Like I said, only 3 passes in the first half. Their starting quarterback, Ollie Taylor, averaging less than 7 passes a game on the season. So, clearly, this game, more than most, a big factor is going to be who controls the pace of the game. And whoever does is going to, you know, really have a good chance to win today. So what we've got to do, when Whiteland comes out and gets the ball first, I would not recommend an onside kick. Although I think Tyler Bless, is, you know, young enough and bold enough to do it. He has that spirit. Okay, I don't know if age has anything to do with it, because Darren Fisher, he's been head coach for 33 years, so he's got to be at least in his 50s, if not 60s, and he's still a pretty bold guy in his own right. So I don't think that we should do that, but I think we just got to go out there and try to hold him to 3 and out. And we did hold him to 3 and out on their 3rd position in this game, so hopefully that gave us some confidence. And Whiteland, they did not move the ball real well in their last possession of the first half. And what surprised me is that they only used one of their timeouts, and that told me maybe they didn't have a lot of confidence in advancing the ball deeply, and they were afraid of us getting the ball with enough time to do something. So, anyway, Plainfield, obviously, in good shape, not in great shape. I was hoping they'd already have a good grip on this like they did last week when we went, you know, into the locker room leading Franklin 30-3. So, not every game is like that, but you just got to, you know, play the best you can on every play and play every game like the state championship is at stake. Because if you get in the habit of playing, you know, every play like it's the championship, you get into good habits. And, you know, good habits, are one of the most critical elements to winning a championship. You know, I remember when I was playing Little League sports growing up as a kid in Madison, Indiana, you know, I remember one time when the leader of the Parks and Recreation Department was talking to us about the importance of getting into good habits. He addressed the old cliche, practice makes perfect, and he said, truth be told, practice does not make perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect, but practice does make permanent. So, you know, it's so important to get into good habits of just playing every play like it's, like it's for a championship. And you look, in my history of 45 years of sports watching, my favorite athletes, I mean, I certainly have appreciation for, you know, all the guys who are the superstars. I enjoy watching them. But if you look at the guys who are my super favorite athletes, a lot of them were not superstars, but they were the guys who were the most relentless competitors, who were the biggest overachievers, who played every play, who came to play every night and every play, who played every play like it was for the Super Bowl or for the championship in whatever sport it was. And, I always think about, to go back to the Rocky film series, which I often do, you go back to the to Rocky IV, to the climactic fight, between Rocky and Drago. You know, as much as I love those movies, I actually think the boxing commentary is usually not very good. Being a sports commentator myself, I think, you know, that's the only area where, you know, it could be better a lot of the time. But I love that line. This might not be verbatim, but it's close to it. Near the end of the Rocky Drago fight, the commentator said, there's no strategy anymore. This is just a street fight. Whoever wants it the most. I love to see a game where you can tell how much both sides want it, and you hate for one of them to lose. One of my favorite examples, you go back to the 1988 NBA season, Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals between Boston and Atlanta up at the old Boston Garden, where Larry Bird and Dominique Wilkins had probably my all-time favorite one-on-one moment in NBA history, where they just went back and forth scoring on each other for most of the fourth quarter before Boston, of course, pulled it out. Man, what a game that was. I remember watching it on Memorial Day weekend. And I was up actually visiting my uncle Bob and his family up in Tipton that weekend for my cousin Laura's high school graduation from Tipton High School. And, I took time out of visiting with them to watch the game, although a lot of us in the house were watching it too, so it's not like I was being antisocial. But anyway, we got only 2:02 to go, and the band is still out on the field. Right now, let's take a look at what the other Hendricks County teams are up to tonight, and what where they are in the polls, what they did last week. Starting in Class 6A, Brownsburg holds at number one for the fifth consecutive week after last week's big 59-21 win at home against Zionsville. The Bulldogs should get another easy one tonight as they visit 3-4 Noblesville. The Millers are in danger of their 22nd consecutive 500 or worse season. Also in 6A, Avon drops to 0-7 for the third consecutive season after a 38-14 home loss to Westfield. But the good news is that the Orioles are now up to their weakest portion of the regular season. They could win tonight. They have a good chance to win tonight at 3-4 Zionsville, and next week on their senior day against Noblesville. In Class 3A, Tri-West is now 6-1 and moves up to notch to number 8 after a big 38-0 win at North Montgomery. The Bruins should get another easy win tonight on their senior day as they host 0-7 Crawfordsville, the Athenians. Also in Class 3A, Danville is 5-2 after last week's 46th win as they visited the Frankfurt Hot Dogs. However, tonight on their senior day, the Warriors have a much tougher opponent with Western Boone, who is also 5-2 and has won three state championships in the last 5 years, the first two in Class 2A and then the latter in Class 3A. Finally, in Class 2A, Cascade improves to 5-2 with a 40-19 win down in Spencer at Owen Valley. Tonight, after a three-game road trip in which they went 2-1, Cascade returns home to play Monrovia, who's also 5-2. And with one more win this season, the Cadets will clinch consecutive winning seasons for the first time in 17 years. Well, you know, Plainfield and Whiteland is a rivalry that goes back almost exactly a half century. The teams first played each other back in 1973. In fact, just 6 days from now, next Thursday, it will be the 50th anniversary of that first game. Believe it or not, and this surprised me, since, you know, I've been, Plainfield's only beaten Whiteland once since I started commentating Plainfield back in 2012. But there was actually a time when the Quakers thoroughly dominated the series. They actually led the series 30-4. However, then that was up through the first meeting in 1973 up until 2010. And since then, however, Whiteland has beaten Plainfield 12 of the last 13 times to close the edge of the season, to close the edge of the series to 31-16. Plainfield had a 30-4 edge over Whiteland, the Warriors won six games in a row from 2011 to 2016. Plainfield won in 2017, and then Plainfield won the six subsequent games against the Quakers, including last year in the playoffs in the regional, the only playoff meeting in the history of this rivalry. I'll tell you, the last Plainfield win in the series was a very, very emotional win. It was 2017. And basically that season, Plainfield started off 3-3. They had been to the, they had probably their best team before this year. 2016 was probably their best team since I've been commentating them. They were 6-5 in 2016, but they had a 4-point loss to Avon, 7-point loss to Roncalli. And then they lost by 5 in the sectional championship to Zionsville at Plainfield, one of the best games that I've ever commentated in my life. They weren't supposed to be quite as good in 2017 after losing star wide receivers, Gavin Ritter, who went to DePaul, and, Dante Keyes, who went to, I don't remember the name of it, it's a big Division II power in Missouri. And anyway, Ben Slayton, did not have as good he was a junior in 2017, he did not have as good a receiving corps to throw to. His numbers were good, but they were not as extraordinary as they had been the year before. And then his infamous off-the-field incident happened the day before our Week 7 game against Franklin. And then we threw in Nate Dalton to start that game, threw six passes in that game, beat the Grizzly Cubs, who were still a very bad program at the time. That was in their first year of rebuilding under head coach Chris Cole a couple of years before he got them on track. And then the next week we went down to Whiteland, and we caught the Warriors in a rare offseason. They were 2-8, one of the few down years they've ever had under Darren Fisher. And we won 50-47 through only four times in the game. So obviously, you know, with that quarterback change, we had to dramatically revamp the offense, but we really made it work in that game. Tavian Gadier rushed 32 times for 223 yards and 3 touchdowns. And Ricky Alstom rushed 14 times for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that was a very emotional win for the Quakers. And, you know, then they came home next week. And then Dalton was injured, so we had to go to our third-string quarterback, Tyler McCarty, and we lost. But it was a courageous performance. And I was so proud of the kids that day for what they did under the awful circumstances they'd been put through over the last 3 weeks. So now we're about to start the second half here. 8:22, your time of day. That was an unusually long halftime show. So I gave me more time to talk about stuff. So anyway, and now the ball falls off the tee for at least the third time tonight. So like I said, we just, you know, that'd be great if not a turnover, at least start off the half with a three and out. And then, you know, come down and score. Now the, again, the ball falls off the tee, so I think we're going to have a holder again like we did earlier, which again, as I emphasize, is legal. You don't see it very often, but it is legal. And now it's a short range kick. It's a live ball. Right lane covers it up to 37. Also, while we have a pause here, a special thanks to the Whiteland staff for the delicious Chicago's pizza that they provided us here in the press box tonight. And, of course, I always thank the Plainfield staff for the Donato's pizza they provide for us every home game. It's always, I have a special place in my heart for athletic departments that provide pizza to us media folk. So they're very high on my list. I think I'm going to leave them something in my will. But anyway, so Whiteland taking over their first possession of the second half, first and 10 at their own 38, trailing by one. Plainfield trying to stay on top of this one. Now drops pass, throws deep, he's got a man wide open, and it's caught. And he might have been gone, but he brought down at the 25 after a pick of about 37 yards. So Kalibo takes the 37 yards, and if it had not been underthrown, he might have been gone for the touchdown. But Kalibo had to stop. So that was a very brave move to start off the half here. Whiteland, you know, they're playing courageously tonight in a rare off season for them, and now. First play is up for about 3 yards.
Who took that?
Okay. Okay. Coons. That was Coons there for three. Come on, boys. Got to get a stop here. Coons, the only Whiteland touchdown so far this game. Second and 7 now at the Plainfield 22. 11 minutes to go. Plainfield 8, Whiteland 7. Come on, boys. It's going to stop here. But he's got it all on the left side. He's inside the 15, inside the 10. Got the first down. Davidson there. Pick up about 12 or so. See what kind of spot they give him. Give him credit for 10. So the Warriors 12 yards away from getting that lead back. It's going to stop here, boys. The less pressure we're under, the better. But anyway, so two receivers out to the left, two running backs. Quarterback under center. And now, handoff, but he doesn't get much. Coons again. And we got a late flag, so let's see what that's all about. Officials already liberating. It was a gain of just about one, but or maybe two. unsportsmanlike conduct against Whiteland. Boy, that is a huge, huge, huge break for the Quakers. So they lost 15 yards there. Oh my God, that's incredible break for us. It was after the play. So now 2nd and 23 for the 25 for the Warriors. Now we no excuse for not getting off the field here. That was a gift that was given to us. Now we've got to take advantage. You've got to take advantage of gifts. You don't owe anyone. You don't owe anyone an apology when you get it. You just got to say thank you and take it. And now he's pressing the quarterback. He does get it off, and it's complete. And he's brought down. He gets a good chunk of yards back over 10 yards there. So David, since they picked about 12 yards there, so I give the Warriors credit for not rolling over and dying. That was Davidson there on his first reception of the game. Give him credit for 13. Bringing up 3rd and 10. Still no excuse for not getting off the field here. We pressured them, but, you know, they had a receiver open. So now I formation here. One receiver out to the right. And now handoff. He's inside the 10. Gets it maybe up about to the 8 or 9. So Coons again with a short gain. Oh, he didn't get as good a spot as I thought. So they gave him 10. They moved him up to the 10 for 2 yards. So the Quakers, now Noah Pope, lining up for what would be a 27-yard field goal. He's one of two on field goals. He hit a 31, so this is in his range. But this one is no good. All right, so big break for the Quakers here. So for the second time in this game, the team advances. Warriors advance at least to the Quakers 10 and come away with no points. We are very lucky that we have the lead now, 8-7. We could have been down 14-0, and that would have dramatically changed this game. Now, we've got the lead in the ball, 9:02 to go in the third quarter. Let's keep the clock and the chains moving. So now, two receivers each side, one running back. Newell gives it up, and it's got a short rush. Starnes. Second and 10 for the Quakers. There's no gain there by Starnes, by the way. So we have it at the 20. Now a fixed handoff. And now screen pass. It's complete. He dropped it. It's Starnes, the intended receiver. So now a dreaded 3rd and long for the Quakers. Very big 3rd and 10 for the Quakers. Not a disaster. Don't get anything, but they really should if they can. And now throws deep downfield, and it's incomplete. So very disappointing drive here. Neither team scores on its first possession. Disappointing that Plainfield did not even gain a yard up there. They went not only 3 and out, but they had a rush for no gains and 2 incompletions. Only by my count, the 3rd and 4th incompletions of Newell on the game. So the Quakers now punting with 8:15. 8:15 to go in the third quarter. Now the pressure cranked up again on our defense, still swinging to a 1-point lead. Missed opportunities, though, one of the biggest stories of this game so far. It's a good punt. Bounces around the 50 and looks like a, let's see, where do they down it here? They're sitting at the 36. I'm not. So Franklin, I'm sorry, Whiteland taking over at the 36, at the Plainfield 36. So more pressure on our defense. 8:09 to go. We didn't even. Hand off there. He's running the right side. He picks up about six or so. Caden Davidson again. He's had a quietly effective game. Clock still ticking. Give him credit for five on that one. Second and five now for the Warriors at the Plainfield 31, trailing by one. Plainfield very lucky to be ahead in this one. And now hand off to Valentine. Kester on the right side, and he might have the first. Let's see where they mark him. I couldn't tell because it's on the other side of the field. So they're marking him all the way up to 19. So you got to hope he wouldn't get quite as good a spot, but Valentine got off to a good start. Then we started containing him a little better, but he picks up 12 on that one. So now the Warriors in the red zone once again. On two occasions in the red zone tonight, they've gotten into the red zone and come away with no points. They turned it over on downs and had a missed field goal. Let's see what happens here. But this time, Palmer gets it, and he takes it for the touchdown. So now Plainfield falls behind for the second time in this game. 7:18 to go in the third quarter. No time. It's not time to panic, but it is time to be concerned. The Quakers have not risen to the occasion to the extent that I had hoped they would. 13-8 now, the score with the conversion pending. We've got to do something on our ensuing drive. We got 0 yards on our first drive of the half. And boy, you can see how, you know, if Whiteland does win this game, you got to point to that game opening onside kick. And now the two point conversion is good. Valentine. So 15-8 now. So that means if we get a touchdown, an extra point will tie. A 2-point conversion will give us another 1-point lead. And now we hear Don't Stop Believing by Journey. And Quakers fans, don't stop believing in these kids. They've come back from a lot of obstacles this year to pull off some big wins. Do they have another one in them tonight? They're only down by 7. They came down from 13 down. They came back from 13 down to beat Terre Haute South in week 1. Came back from 14 down to beat Harrison in week 2. Last year in the playoffs, last year in the regular season finale, we came back from 17-7 in the fourth quarter to beat Martinsville, 21-17. We came back from being down 35-28 in the fourth quarter to beating Harrison. I'm sorry, we were down 28-21 to Harrison in the fourth quarter, ended up winning 35-28 in the playoffs, and then we were down to Decatur Central in the sectional championship game, 10-0 in the fourth quarter, 113-10 in Hollywood-style fashion. And now what are they going to do? It looks like they're going to try some trickery. And it's another offside kick. Waiting for a signal. And they got it. Oh, no. So two successful onside kicks in the game. And that is something, there's simply no excuse for that. They cannot allow that to happen. I mean, the game could hinge on that. Head coach Tyler Bless a few weeks ago on his weekly show on audiosportsonline.com said that one reason why he goes for so many two-point conversions is that, he wants the team to, he wants opponents to have to take time out of practice to figure out how to defend the 2-point conversion during the week. Obviously, Plainfield, they're going to have to take some lessons in responding to onside kicks, because that is killing us tonight. We're not out of it, but now extra pressure on the defense as Whiteland has the ball 15-8. And keep in mind, you know, we're very lucky that twice they've gotten down to our 10. Once they got down to our 10 and once they got down to our 7 and came away with no points. We're very lucky to only be down 7 now. We've got to rise to the occasion here. The playoffs, we only have one game left after tonight to tune up for the playoffs to start in 3 weeks. So Valentine up for about 7 or 8 on the first play of the ensuing drive, starting in Plainfield territory at the 49. They give him credit for 8. I have him 14 for 70. Whiteland fans really getting into it. They have not had a lot to cheer about this season, but, you know, they're very, as they should be, very proud of the effort their kids have given tonight. They've been scrappy, and they've outplayed us. They've outplayed us and out-hustled us. And now we got a flag here, hopefully against Whiteland, but... Okay, good. Holding against Whiteland. Okay, good. So now it is 2nd and 12 for the Warriors, back into their own territory at the 48. Now we've got to take advantage of that penalty. A little over a quarter and a half to go in this game. 6:19 to go and counting. Whiteland 15, Plainfield 8. Now we blitz the quarterback. He gets it off, and we stop him. We stop him right around the line of scrimmage. So Davidson makes the catch, but we hammered him for maybe a gain of about 2. I think the fans wanted a horse collar tackle here, but they did not get it. It looked to me, it looked like it was hard but clean, the tackle. Third and 9 now at the 49. Got to get off the field here, boys. And now he's got a little bit of a hole. He gets up for about 6. That was Coons there. It'll be 4th down at about 3 or so. Will they go for it? Fourth and 3 at the 43. Very big play for the Quakers defense. Come on, boys, make a stop here. Play like the championship is at stake. Now, pitch back. Palmer, he's got the first down and a few more. 2nd and 12, and we failed to get him off the field. Give him credit for 7. Palmer also with the go-ahead touchdown here in the third quarter. And now 4:33 to go and counting. Whiteland with the ball at the Plainfield 36 and a 7-point lead. Come on, boys. Got to get a stop here. If we go down 2 possessions, we are in deep trouble. As long as we stay with the 1 possession, we got a good chance. We got to play with a lot of urgency, though, but at the same time, confidence. I think we're shaken now. And now they give it to Valentine. He's brought down for about 2 or 3. Four minutes to go now. So we just passed the 2/3 mark of the game. Valentine gets 3 there. here. Second and seven now. A Whiteland with the ball at the Plainfield 33, 3:39 to go in the third quarter. 8:42 your time of day. One receiver at each side. Now a handoff right on top of him. He doesn't get much. So it's going to be third and five or six. Valentine again with the ball. They get got a little bit better spot than I hoped. They gave him three, bringing up third and four. Come on, boys. Got to make a big stop here. Under 3 minutes to go in the quarter now. Whiteland milking the clock. And now, pitch back. And now, we stopped him, you know, about 2 yards short of the first.
Who was that?
So, Palmer again. So, give him credit for two. Fourth and two now. They converted fourth and three on this drive. They're up to their own, up to the Plainfield 48 now. Now the clock stopped, 2:49 to go. Each team still with all three timeouts left here in the second half. Whiteland 15, Plainfield 8. Come on, boys, make the stop. And we might have stopped them. It's going to be close. Depends on the spot. 3 officials are deliberating. So they gave it to him. They gave it to him. So, God, the Davidson there, 2 fourth down conversions on this possession. That moves the ball up to the Plainfield 26. 2:35 to go now. Very concerning situation. And now a short run up the middle for about 2 or 3. Okay, so that was Xander Height with his first carry of the game. They give him credit for 4. Second and 6 now at the 22 for the and now for the rush over to the left side, he gets about 2. That was Coons. Coons, very effective in short yardage situations. Got a touchdown earlier. They gave him 3 there, bringing up 3rd and 3. So the Warriors inside the red zone once again. They do have 2 score the strips to the red zone tonight, and that's why it's only a 1 possession lead for them. 1:20 to go now. Yeah, they could take this drive, you know, well into the next quarter, and if they do that and get a score, even a field goal, we're in big trouble. Got to get a stop here, boys. 3rd and 3 at the 19. And now Grizzly Cubs take their first time out. And at that, the Warriors, the Grizzly Cubs were last week. All right, bear with me for a few seconds. I'm extremely thirsty. I'm going to take a big chug of my soda here. Be right back.
Yep. What's that? Oh, yeah, here we go.
Lawrence North.
Wow.
13 to 15. I mean, granted, from halftime, they've only been behind half of the half, but twice. Fuller, they came back.
Yeah, well, the most parts have come a long way in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were really down at the bottom of the pit for a while.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mallory really brought him back.
So, all right, 1:03 to go here in the third quarter at Whiteland. Your score, Whiteland 15, Plainfield 8. The Warriors have the ball, 3rd and 3. at the Plainfield 19. The Warriors just took a timeout, very critical. Third down coming up here for the Quakers defense. Yeah, I got a handoff here to Valentine. They're on top of him. I think he's going to be short of the first. Valentine has not had a breakthrough game tonight, not had a breakthrough game tonight, but he has, I think, in credit for two, so fourth and one. They've already converted two fourth down conversions on this possession, so I assume they will go for this one here. And they were fourth and two and fourth and three. This is a fourth and one. And they're, you know, taking their sweet time, 30 seconds now in the quarter. The Quakers are in trouble. Fourth down coming up. Quarterback sneak. Did he get it? And I think he did. Well, one thing they've done is that they've largely kept us off the field. I look forward to seeing the time of possession. Well, actually, I don't, because it's going to be very painful, the time of possession stats for this game. But, yeah, he got the first.
Got the quarterback.
So, Ollie Taylor, the quarterback, with his first rush of the game. He does not rush a lot. But he got that one there. And now the clock goes back in motion under 10 seconds, and looks like they're going to let it run out. So your Plainfield Quakers in danger of their second loss in three games. They need to make a stop in some big place and fast. 12 minutes to go. Your score, Whiteland 15, Plainfield 8. The Warriors now have the ball first and 10 at the Plainfield 13. We'll be back with a very tense conclusion after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on Audio Sports Online is made possible through the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to thank them and encourage you to support them. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gannell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Berberich, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Whiteland, we're about to start the fourth quarter with your Plainfield Quakers in danger of their second loss in 3 weeks. They trail the Whiteland Warriors 15-8, and Whiteland has the ball first and 10 at the Plainfield 13. A handoff, and he's inside the 10 up to about the 7 or 8. Palmer there, he already has a touchdown tonight. Any score, even a field goal, puts us in a two-possession hole. To give him a better spot than I thought, 7 yards, so second and 3. Two successful onside kicks have been fatal for us tonight. Valentine gets it, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. Valentine's 18th carry of the game by my count, his first touchdown. And we are in trouble. We go down 21-8 with 11:21 to go. Now, in this intruding possession, we got to get something going in fast. And then, you know, we got to really consider the onside kick, because on that drive, we simply failed to contain their offense, symbolized by them converting three fourth downs. You just can't do that. And a little snap, the kick is up, and it is good. So there's been one touchdown in each quarter this year, in this game, excuse me. And in three of the four cases, unfortunately, it was by Whiteland. They entered the game 3-4. We've beaten three of the teams that have beaten them this year. on paper. We should be, you know, we should be winning right now. I mean, you know, Franklin's a team that we destroyed 38-3 last week. They beat Whiteland 22-21. Perry Meridian, the team we beat 21-20, they beat Whiteland 28-13. Mooresville, the team we beat 31-15, they beat Whiteland 21-7. But, you know, I remember, you go back to Jim Mora's legendary playoff tirade in his last season with the Colts in 2001. One of his famous quotes from that speech is, "I don't care who you play." And he talks about when you do a bunch of things that you're not gonna beat anybody. And, you know, when the other team recovers two onside kicks against you, you know, you're very unlikely to win. So, and, you know, we need two touchdowns, and we're going to have to score fast because, you know, and now we're, another short kickoff. This time he takes it, and he could go. Well, he's got through him down the 40, 35. All right. So, yeah, he was rushing like, you know, his life depended on it, and that's the kind of play we need. We outstanding field position. It was a short kick, but, you know, one of our linemen took it. I didn't catch him, but, you know, they swarmed in on him, but he found a hole. That was, yeah, Alex Holdskull. Thank you so much to the kind sir next to me, who did catch it. Thought it was good to have a second set of eyes. Especially when my broadcast partner, Rob Kendall's not here. He's, he and I think make a good team. But anyway, two receivers deep side now. Newell. Screen pass complete, and he gets out of bounds. And at this point, you know, you got to preserve the clock. That was Bowie, by the way. Jameer Bowie there. Picks up four there. So second and six for the Quakers at the Whiteland 26. And now picks the hand up. Pitch is over, and I'm not sure if that counts as a screen pass or if it counts as a rush. Okay, so they said it was incomplete. Oh, well, that's good because at least preserves the clock. So very big third and six here. So a very big third and six for the Quakers. They're obviously in four down territory, however. .10:51 to go in the game. Plainfield, 13 points down. Got to get a quick score. And then I think we got to seriously consider a two-point, an onside kick. Of course, they'll probably be expecting it. But, I mean, yeah, our rushing defense just hasn't been good enough tonight. And that's something that, you know, we're going to have to fix over these last 3 weeks if we want to make a deep playoff run. So two receivers to each side. Low snap, but he gets it. And now Newell's got some room. Throws deep. And it's caught inside the 15. So the clock will stop to move the chains. 10:41 to go. That was Bowie again. Let's see where they mark it. That's a 10 plus a 16-yard pickup. All right. So the Quakers, not dead yet. So two receivers to the left now. One running back. Hands off now. And now he's met at the line. Then he finds the hole. Gets inside the 10 up to about the 6 or 7. That was Starnes. Starnes has had at least one touchdown in every game this year. He does not have any tonight. Well, he changed that here. This would be a good time to do it. He does get four there. .9:51 to go. Two receivers to the left, now one to the right. Starnes, the running back. Vanderbush and I believe that's Miller to the left, and now throws in the end zone, and he's got the touchdown. Yes, that, I believe that was, no, they said he's out at the one. I thought he crossed, I thought he broke the pylon. But let's see. Looks like he broke the pylon, but they're standing at about the 1 foot line. Nevertheless.
Who was that on the reception?
Okay, that was Bowie on the reception. So now, Quakers, a big third and one. Now, and I, oh, well now, does he get it? A fumble! And Whiteland recovers the fumble in the end zone, and that sums up the way our game has gone. Oh, gosh, friggin' darn it. Yeah, my son Liam just said proverbial, and that's a Swedish word that we say when, you know, we're upset about stuff. In Swedish, it literally means the executioner. It's one of my favorite Swedish words. Man. I just feel sick. Because if we lose this game tonight, we gave them the friggin' game in the immortal words of Jim Mora. Just be thankful that I'm so dedicated to keeping these broadcasts G-rated, you know. Now, Davidson on the first play of the ensuing drive for Whiteland. Second and six now at the 24, and now this is Whiteland's to lose. Well, the good news is we do have 3 weeks to get ready for the playoffs, but and now we got a now I've got a penalty. Somebody here said face mask, so let's see if that's the call. And what I don't want to see here is Plainfield just get frustrated and sloppy. Even if we're going to lose this game, I want us to go out playing good fundamental football the rest of the way. We're down 22-8 with 8:38 to go. Yeah, man. This is going to be a miserable ride home tonight, I'll tell you. Just miserable. I mean, I guess the only good news, I mean, I can only imagine what it would be like coming home from, like, a really long road trip, like, you know, from, like, Harrison or McCutcheon or one of the Terre Haute schools, you know, something like that. That would be, like, really miserable, but... So, okay, offsetting penalty, so they're going to replay the down. So it'll be second and six again for the Warriors. 8:37 to go in the fourth quarter, clock ticking. The Whiteland a 22-8 lead in a game that Plainfield, you know, has really squandered so many golden opportunities. And now he's going all the way for the touchdown. And now we caught up with him and brought him down in the 16. So good job catching up with him, and it looked like he was up to the races. But so that's about a 53 yards there by Slate Valentine, his first super big time gain of the evening. So under 8 minutes to go now, and now they give it to Valentine again. He's brought down for just a short game. Well, if Bob Knight were coaching Whiteland, he would make these kids show up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and run up the steps at Assembly Hall, and that would be a very fitting punishment. So, you know, I'm trying to find humor in this, but anyway, and my son just pat me on the back. He knows how much I hate to lose. And now a Palmer up the middle, and he gets, and we got a late flag here. He gets up about 5. I want to balance this because the kids have done a lot more good than bad this year. But, you know, this is one of those things when they're punished tomorrow, it should be like a father who's about ready to, you know, give us some good spanking and say, this is going to hurt, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. That's what I feel right now. So, but you know, after the Decatur Central game, when we came out and totally dominated Franklin last week, I thought we'd gotten our bad game out of our system for the year. My son and I just saw The Exorcist last night. I think we need to bring somebody in to perform an exorcism on this game. We definitely need to slay this demon. And the only way we can do that now is by, you know, at least winning the sectional, if not more. Winning the second consecutive sectional, only the third in school history, that would be good. And now a short run, under 7 minutes to go now. So third down, after that short run by Caden Davidson, picks up about 2 there. And I'll tell you, you know, it's always important to view movies in the context of when they were made. You know, I've seen movies that are scarier and, you know, have stronger content than The Exorcist, but looking at it in the context of its release 50 years ago, I understand why that movie freaked out and traumatized so many people back then. Franklin takes the time out there. My son pointed out that William Friedkin, who directed The Exorcist, just died about 2 months ago. And although, you know, William Friedkin actually has a great tie to, a sports-related tie to the state of Indiana that probably a lot of people don't realize. He directed the 1994 college basketball drama Blue Chips, that was filmed partly in Indiana. One of the players who, Nick Nolte's character was a coach at a Los Angeles University in that movie, and he came to Indiana to recruit a kid named Ricky Rowe, who was played by former IU star Matt Nover. And Larry Bird also appeared as himself in that scene. And then also Jim Boeheim and Jerry Tarkanian were shown in Indiana trying to recruit Ricky Rowe. And then the scenes in Nolte's team's home gym were actually filmed at Frankfort High School, home of the hot dogs. Because the filmmakers thought that, you know, Indiana fans are so crazy about basketball, they would get better crowd participation, which, you know, I'm sure they did. It's a great, great movie that really is an uncompromising statement about the corruption of big-time college basketball. So now 3rd and 19 for the Warriors in a short game there by Koontz. So a little over 6 minutes to go, and looks like the little... I guess, and now the clock stops here. Maybe Plainfield's taking their first time out. So anyway, I'll tell you, when I start talking about movies and stuff, you know the game probably is a blowout, and I'm trying to, you know, fill in the space. But anyway, for those of you just joining us, unfortunately, Plainfield coming off by far its worst game of the year. They entered the game a heavy favorite over 3-4 Whiteland to break their 6-game losing streak to the Warriors. And by the way, their last win over the Warriors 6 years ago in the regular season broke another 6-game losing streak to the Warriors. So now, assuming Whiteland hangs on to win tonight, that would be their record 7th straight in the series. Keep in mind that before Whiteland won 12 of the last 13 against Plainfield, the Quakers led the all-time series 30-4. Hard to believe. Keep in mind, I've been with this program commentating since 2012, so I was shocked to find out. So now the Noah Pope going for a 40-yard field goal. He's one of three on the year. His only make was from 31, so this would be 9 yards longer than that. So and now it's going to be short. And now it's a live ball. They can return it. And it is being returned up to the 10, 15, 20, and it is...
That is a touchback. Got to the end zone.
On the point. Okay. Well, so apparently here in college ball, if it goes into the end zone, it's a touchback. So in college ball, if you pick up a missed field goal in the end zone, you can return it. I didn't realize you couldn't in high school ball. So Plainfield takes over at the 20. 5:54 to go, and they got to make up two touchdowns. You know, in the Blues Brothers, when Jake and Elwood and their band play "Give Me Some Love" in a Bob's Country Bunker and get a very negative reaction, Elwood says, "We got to think of something these people like and fast." Well, right now, Plainfield's got to think of something that works and fast. Will they do it? They got to play. You know, they can't play like this. You know, game is over. They got to play like this is the state championship game, and they got to make up two touchdowns in a little less than half a quarter. So this, even if we fail, it'll be good practice. So let's give it all you got, boys. Let's finish strong. Now, my son and I have seen some pretty adventurous movies lately. We saw Scarface a few weeks ago. The Wolf of Wall Street about 2 months ago. We're on a roll. So, anyway. Yeah, The Departed. Yeah, we saw that just the other day. That's a good. Martin Scorsese, anything by Martin Scorsese is good. And now they blitzed him. He gets the ball off. And it's reception, but for hardly anything. Starnes reception. So, second, two receivers to the left, one to the right. And, so the pass deflected. So Newell's thrown a couple on this possession that could have been intercepted, but he does nevertheless preserve his perfect streak. Might as well go for it here. 5:12 to go, 4th and 4 at our own 26. We will be back home a week from tonight for Senior Day against Martinsville. Hope you all will get out here, regardless of how this game finishes. And we got the first down and more up to about the 40. Nice gain there, 14 yards from Newell to Miller. Still not quite out of it, but we gotta play with some urgency. 5:03 to go. Newell drops back. Third seat. He's got a man open. Oh, just a little bit overthrown. Would have had a chance to go all the way if he had made it. Nevertheless, the clock stops 4:55 to go.
That was Miller's fifth reception of the game. He got his finally first reception of the season, first touchdown of the season last week after 19 receptions coming into the game. He had 24 coming into tonight. So two receivers deep side. Jumps back. Got time. And he's got a complete pass. And he's got the first down and more inside the Warrior territory out of about the 45. So Bowie there picks up about 16. Jameer Bowie likely to be our number one wide receiver next season as a senior and make a run for a good college scholarship. He's had a very good season. Two receivers each side now. And now the pass deflected. So bringing up second and 10 at the Whiteland 47, 4:44 to go in the game. Newell, 22 passes by my count in this game. Was that an interception? Newell, and finally, Newell throws his first interception. I couldn't tell if it hit the ground or not. A couple of the officials are to deliberate, so maybe there's now three officials already on the discussion. I couldn't tell if it hit the ground or not from my vantage point, but let's see. Well, it took Bowie nearly 8 full games to throw an interception, if that is the ruling. Let's see. They're still deliberating. There is a penalty against Whiteland. Well, Whiteland will finish out the regular season at Greenwood 1 week from tonight. Certainly, you know, there's no guarantee. No team is guaranteed a home playoff game, so this could be the last home game for these seniors here. So, you know, I congratulate them for getting off with a well-deserved victory. They came out and really stuck it to us tonight, and we weren't ready for what they threw at us. We better be ready the rest of the year. Here's that. So, Valentine again. Valentine, the MVP, in my opinion, of the guys. I don't think there's much doubt about that. I have him 21 for 144 and a touchdown. 418 to go in counting. So, basically, the interception did count. I couldn't tell if the ball had hit the ground or not because the guy had to go really low to get it. But then there was a penalty after the play that backed up the Warriors 15 yards, which doesn't mean much at this point as the clock hits the four-minute mark here. And now he takes up about 7 Valentines. That's going to be close to another first down, at least within one. Now he got the first down, so 3:48 to go. So Whiteland, barring a major catastrophe, will escape with a win, a come-from-behind win, a much-deserved win. They simply outplayed, out-hustled, out-executed us for most of the game, and that they deserve this. You know, they didn't play this game like, you know, we were ranked number 6 with a record of 6-1 and they were 3-4. They played like but they ended the game winning 6 in a row and 12 of the last 13 against us, about to make it 7 in a row and 13 of the last 14. And now another rush by Valentine nearly to the first down. Blake Valentine, only a junior, turning into one of the best rushers in Whiteland history, which is saying a lot when you consider, you know, the whole batch of them that Darren Fisher's had over his 19 years here. He is the dean of Mid-State Conference coaches, 10 years more seniority than anybody else in the conference. Kyle Enright, who's now in his ninth season with Decatur Central is in second place. And now, Valentine looks like he might break the 3-4 touchdown. He does get up to about the 34. So that's going to be, again, a push to 20. 2:32 to go as the clock is up with the chains after a 19-yard pickup by Valentine. I have him 24 for 177 and a touchdown. Yeah, Darren Fisher arrived at Whiteland in 2005. He had previously coached here in Indiana at Cascade, won a sectional with the Cadets, the only sectional in school history, I believe, in 1992. Then went out to Iowa, coached at a high school in Des Moines there, I just found out today. So now I rush up for about 3 or 4. But yeah, the journalist sitting next to me informed me that he did coach at Iowa. And then I came back here in 2005, has been there ever since. In 2006, a year after Fisher took over at Whiteland, Brian Woodard took over at Plainfield and Mike Campbell at Greenwood. Each stayed there for 17 seasons, stepping down at the end of last season. So 1:34 to go, second and 7 for the Warriors, leading by 14. Plainfield still has 2 timeouts. I'm inclined to think they're probably not going to use them. And to stop him on a short gain, short rush for 1 or 2. So 1:10 to go, so third down. Under a minute now. So Plainfield will drop to 6-2 on the season. Lose for their second time in 3 games after that 5-0 start. And it's really hard. It's hard for me to... And now a rush up the middle for about 5 or 6 and what's likely to be the last play of the game. Blake Valentine again, and why not? He will close with nearly 200 yards in this game. He went a long way toward winning this one. And the fans here in their last regular season home game give the team a much-deserved ovation. Whiteland's had a tough season entering at 3-4 in danger of a very rare losing season under Darren Fisher. But they played tonight maybe for the first time all season like they were in the Class 5A state championship game last year. Well-deserved victory. Your final score here tonight at Whiteland, a very painful night for Quaker Nation. Whiteland 22, Plainfield 8. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to next week's Senior Day showdown against Martinsville after these final words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize them and encourage you to support them. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gunnell Financial, Remax Centerstone, Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Whiteland for a final time tonight, where your Plainfield Quakers have just completed a very, very painful loss to the Whiteland Warriors by a score of 22-8. It's a game in which Plainfield started off in a hole after they won the coin toss, chose to receive the opening kickoff, and then Whiteland went for a beautifully executed onside kick for which Plainfield seemed completely unprepared. The Warriors recovered it, and that just set the tone for the whole game right there. And, Plainfield just tonight, through tonight. Hold on just a second. Through tonight, the Quakers all season long, have mostly played well with a few, lapses sprinkled in, failing to sustain drives, things like that. But, overall have played well. Tonight is a game where they did not play well for more than half of the game. They played well for maybe 12 to 18 minutes tonight. After Whiteland recovered the opening onside kick, they scored on that possession on a 2-yard rush by Dane Kuntz. Noah Pope hit the extra point, making it 7-0. Then Plainfield turned the ball over on downside. They were in possession at the Whiteland 35. The Warriors got it down 4th and 2 at the Plainfield 7, then turned it over on downs a yard short of the first. Then Plainfield got its offense going and scored on a 27-yard pass from Hunter Newell to Caden Vanderbush with 6:41 to go in the second quarter. Brandon Hendry got the 2-point conversion to give the Quakers the lead 8-7. However, in the third quarter, after Whiteland went 3-and-out on their ensuing possession, in the third quarter, after Whiteland got the ball first and went 3-and-out, Plainfield ended up punting on their ensuing possession, and then on Whiteland's ensuing possession. In fact, Plainfield went out on their first possession of the second half, and then on Whiteland's ensuing possession, they got the lead back on a 19-yard rush by Jordan Palmer, and then Slate Valentine took in the 2-point conversion to give Whiteland a 15-day lead. And finally, with 11:21 to go in, and then on Whiteland's ensuing possession, by the way, they executed another onside kick that was successful. 2-in-1 game, that's extremely rare at any level. And now fans storming onto the field here to celebrate this big win for the Warriors. They sense that they're getting their season on track now after that 3-and-4 start. But anyway, then after recovering an onside kick for the second time of the game, Whiteland scored again with 11:21 to go in the fourth quarter on a 6-yard rush by Slate Valentine. And Ethan Boone this time kicked the extra point, making the score 22-8. And then Plainfield on the ensuing kickoff, I returned the ball all the way to the 30, but then ended up turning it over on down. And then they got the ball one more time, and then Hunter Newell threw his first interception of the season, bringing a painful end to the game. Look at the individual statistics, first of all, for Plainfield. Hunter Newell completed 16 of 26 passes for 157 yards and a touchdown and one interception. Isaiah Miller had 5 receptions for 47 yards. Jameer Bowie also had 5 for 47. Caden Vanderbush had 3 for 36 and a touchdown. Marcos Rivera, 2 for 25. On the ground, Luke Stark did not score a touchdown for the first time in a game all season. He went 11 for 46. Hunter Newell went 1 for 15. Meanwhile, for Whiteland, Ollie Taylor completed 4 or 5 passes for 57 yards, no touchdowns and no interceptions. Caden Davidson completed 0 of 1 passes for no yards, no touchdowns, and no interceptions. Adrian Kalina. Yeah.
Did one fall?
I don't know.
The white one is barely hanging on.
Adrian Kaligbo had 2 receptions for 41 yards.
Sorry about that.
Hold on just a second there.
Adrian Caligbo had, had two receptions for 41 yards. Adrian Caligbo had two receptions for 41 yards. Caden Davidson, 2 for 16. Then, on rushing, lots to report. Slate Valentine, 27 rushes for 201 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Palmer, 8 rushes for 62 yards and a touchdown. Caden Davidson, 10 for 53. And Dane Coons, 11 for 33 and a touchdown. So, in conclusion, this is a game in which basically Whiteland came out. Whiteland came into this game like they knew they would need to have some trick plays and take a possession or two away from us to win the game. And that's exactly what they did. They took two possessions away from us. And then, you know, sometimes I think part of our problem is that when we did get the ball, sometimes it had been so long since we last had an offensive possession, we were just out of sync. And they played a lot of, you know, the offense when we were on the field, we had some good moments, but we didn't have the rhythm that we have for most of the season, that we've had for most of the season, even in our weaker performances. And I think the fact that we were unprepared, clearly unprepared for two onside kicks, I mean, that is something. I mean, the good news is, you know, it was a regular season. I mean, thankfully it didn't happen in the playoffs. You know, thankfully we have 3 weeks to fix, you know, being ready for onside kicks. And, you know, that's plenty of time to do it. But it's disappointing that they caught us off guard and they took two possessions away from us tonight. And they beat us by two possessions, so that was certainly key in the win. And we did make some plays. You know, we did stop them on 4th and 2 at our 7. That was good. And you know, we were about to go down 14-0. We ended up getting the ball back and taking the lead 8-7. That was good. But, you know, on one of their last scoring drives, they converted on 4th down 3 times. And if you give up 3 4th down conversions and, you know, your opponent recovers 2 onside kicks on you, in the immortal words of Jim Mora, I don't care who you play, you know. So you take away those onside kicks and, you know, we probably would not have been in a position where we would have needed to stop them as many times as we did. So that certainly changed the momentum, and that's to Whiteland's credit. And, you know, I think it is a compliment that they felt they had to take a possession or two away from us to win. You know, and if we had 2 more possessions, this could have been a much different game. But, you know, part of winning in football is coming in with a winning plan, and Whiteland did that tonight. Like I said, they did not play like a team that was 3-4 playing against a 6-1 and 6th-ranked team. They played like, you know, they were coming into the game having won 6 in a row against us in 12 of the last 13. They played like they had our number, and maybe they do. And keep in mind, there is a, you know, good chance we're going to win our sectional, and Whiteland's going to win theirs. Really, the Whiteland's in a sectional with Franklin and the Terre Haute teams, North and South. So you got to say that it's almost certain that either Franklin or Whiteland is going to win that sectional. And certainly Decatur, Central, and Harrison have a reasonable chance to win our sectional. McCutcheon is better than I expected this year. They're 4-3 coming into tonight. But I still don't think that they would beat us. You know, maybe the way we played tonight they would. But, you know, I think we certainly would be the heavy favorite against McCutcheon. I think that we still have a good shot to win our sectional, and that means there's a good chance that we're going to beat Whiteland again in what would be 5 weeks from tonight. I hope we do. It would be great to have a rematch and to turn the tables on them and end that 7-game losing streak against them. Certainly they would have the psychological edge after tonight, but if we learn from what happened and what went wrong in this loss and fix it and then come back strong, we can still turn this thing around and still make a deep playoff run. Now, before I start talking about next week, I want to say something. I've been in a bad mood tonight, as you can tell. I'm going to drive home in a bad mood tonight, and I'll probably watch, like, a really angry movie. Like, what's a good angry movie that has a lot of anger expressed in it? Raging Bull would be a good one. We saw that the other day. I think I'm in the mood to see Raging Bull again tonight. But anyway, a Goodfellas, that'd be another one. No, not Kill Bill, no. No, I want to see aggression, not gratuitous gore. But any R-rated Scorsese movie, I'm in the mood for tonight. Or any R-rated Scorsese movie, or any mafia movie I think I'm going to watch tonight. But, you know, I'll tell you, when you love something or someone, you go through the ups and downs, you know, that person. You know, it's like, I have two kids. I love them more than any parent loves their kids. Sometimes, you go through highs and lows with kids. Sometimes they make you super proud, and sometimes you think, oh, gosh, why'd they do that, you know? And it's the same way with these kids, you know. I love these kids, you know. If I wasn't a super big Plainfield fan, if I didn't have a deep love for this community and this school and this program and these kids, you know, I wouldn't get upset. So, you know, I just want these kids to play the best they can. I love them. I know you do too. We're not going to stop supporting them because of this, you know. We're going to, you know, hopefully the coaches will discipline them, will correct them, and, you know, but, you know, hopefully put them through 6 days of miserable practice. but, you know, at the same time, you got to balance it with just giving the kids a pat on the back, saying, hey, shake this off, learn from it, get mad as hell, play with a chip on your shoulder, and come back and just play like world beaters the rest of the season. If you do that, you can still go along the way. So, you know, 2 weeks ago, I said the loss to Decatur Central could turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to us. I thought maybe we'd never have another bad game the rest of the season after that. Obviously, we had one tonight. So now we just have to let that, hopefully this loss will affect us even more powerfully than the Decatur Central loss did, and we'll come back and we'll just not just play one awesome game, just play, you know, awesome the rest of the season, or awesomely the rest of the season, and, you know, roll to the state championship. Because this team, especially when you look at how much parity there is in Class 5A, and a lot of the traditional powers in Class 5A, especially in the south side of the bracket, are down this year, Plainfield, it's not a stretch that we could go to the Class 5A state championship game, you know, if we play every game like we did last week, which we have the potential to do. You know, we did it once, we could do it again. So we just have to have focus, and I guarantee you after, you know, we're going to run some drills, and no team will ever, for the remainder of the Tyler Bless era, which hopefully will be a few more decades, no team against Plainfield will ever pull off two successful onside kicks in a game again. We're going to be ready for it next time. We weren't tonight. We will be next time. And, you know, we could have done more to continue, you know, we could have continued their rushing offense better tonight. But if we had two more possessions, it wouldn't have, their rushing attack would have been far less effective. It would have been fairly effective, but not as effective as it was. Because, you know, we likely would have had the lead a bigger portion of the game, and they would have been playing under more pressure and probably throwing more. So, you know, we let Whiteman play the game they wanted to play, and it showed. And that was the big factor tonight. So we just got to learn from it. Exercise this game next week and for the rest of the season. And, you know, maybe Coach Bless ought to force these kids to watch tape of this game every day the rest of the season. Whatever it takes to motivate them, you know, maybe he should read the John Feinstein book, A Season on the Brain, to get some Bob Knight motivational tactics. At least the ones that wouldn't get him fired in today's era. Because that does, you know, Knight got away with a lot of stuff that you could not get away with today. But, you know, if we do that, if we come back, we can still go a long, long way this year. And, you know, these two losses can teach us a lot. You know, we learned a lot from the Decatur Central game. If we learn a lot from this game tonight, which I think we will, then it's going to make us better, and it's going to make us more dangerous down the stretch. Starting next season, when we return to action against the Martinsville Artesians, a very familiar opponent,
our traditional regular season ender. Martinsville is a 4A team, and coming into tonight, they had a record of 4-3. They started off the season with a 23-19 win over Bedford North Lawrence, then lost to Bloomington South by a score of 35-6, and then to Greenwood, 43-28. They have recovered since then, however, to win 3 of 4. They got a 25-24 upset win over Decatur Central, and then beat Franklin 32-14. Lost to this Whiteland team 34-22, and then last week beat Perry Meridian 37-31. Now, Martinsville is one of the most passing-heavy teams that we've played all season, probably the most. They're led by junior A.J. Reynolds, a major college prospect, who's completed 89 of 138 passes, 89 of 138, that's a stellar 64.5% for 1,172 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. He has a core of 3 star receivers led by junior Hunter Stroud with 48 receptions for 605 yards and 6 touchdowns. Sophomore Jace LaFerry with 20 receptions for 393 yards, nearly 20 yards reception and 6 touchdowns. And sophomore Mason Dawson with 11 receptions for 211 yards and 1 touchdown. The Artesians have only one significant rusher, but he's having a very big season. Senior Braden Schrake, that's Braden Schrake, has 232 rushes, over 30 a game for 1,028 yards and 8 touchdowns. Of course, I hope you all will get out to every Plainfield game, but I feel even more strongly about next week's game because it's Senior Day, the day in which we recognize and honor all of our seniors in their last regular season home game and possibly their last home game ever, if in the you know, event that we do not have any home playoff games, which is possible, although hopefully that will not be the case. You know, most of the time when you follow a high school football team, you know, you don't become familiar with players until they get up to about their sophomore or junior seasons. But generally, the kids start in the youth football program around third grade. So by the time they get to their senior seasons, they've been in the Plainfield system for about half of their lives, and they poured in thousands of hours of hard work and probably endured a few injuries along the way. And this particular senior class has lived through some of both the greatest and roughest moments in program history. When they were freshmen, they suffered through the COVID season in which they were forced to play through a mountain of harsh, obscene, and scientifically baseless regulations. But they persevered and last year helped Plainfield win only the second sectional championship ever. And finally this year, despite having to adapt to a new head coach, they're having one of the best seasons in school history. So if you can, please come out to thank these kids for nearly a decade of service to this program and let them know that you believe in them as they strive to go a long, long way in the tournament. And also, in less than 48 hours, we're going to know where and against whom our beloved Quakers will be starting this year's tournament. If you'd like to be one of the first people to find out, tune into the IHSAA's annual Perry Show this Sunday at 7 p.m. live on IHSAATV.org. That's IHSAATV.org. And if you missed the initial airing, no problem. It will be archived on the page for you to watch any time. It should be another very hotly contested sectional with Plainfield having played very close games with 2 of the other 3 teams. We beat Harrison 15-14 back in week 2 after trailing 14-0. But the Raiders have won all 5 of their subsequent games coming into tonight, and they're now 6-1 and ranked number 5 in class 5A, albeit against a fairly weak schedule, certainly a weaker schedule than we've played. And of course, we lost to Decatur Central 26-23 2 weeks ago after leading 23-9. So it's interesting that each of the winners of those 2 games won after trailing by as many as 14 points. Decatur Central is currently 5-2. At least they were coming into tonight, and they would love to beat us for a second consecutive time, especially to avenge last season when we beat them twice, first in the regular season and then in Hollywood-type heartbreaking fashion in the sectional championship game. That sensational 19-yard pass from Hunter Newell to Noah Hessling to give us the 13-10 victory. Decatur Central, they got off to a rough start, you know, at 2-2 this year, but they've won their last 3 games and look like they're peaking at the right time, so they should be a tough fight. But if we play our A game, you know, we've got a shot to win. And then the other team in the sectional is the McCutcheon Mavericks. They're based in Lafayette. They were 3-7 last year.
By far the weakest team in the sectional. However, they are better this year at 4-3, but they appear to be, by a good margin, the weakest team in the sectional. So if we play, you know, our A or B game, we should beat them pretty comfortably. Although, obviously, after today, you don't want to take anybody for granted. So, in conclusion, my kids are both adults now. They're 19 and 18. My daughter graduated from high school last year, my son this year. There are times when, as a dad, I was pretty stern and, you know, I made it clear that I was unhappy with something they did. And, it's parents who don't love their kids who never correct them, you know, and I don't mean correction in the sense of Delbert Grady, but I mean, you know, correct them in the sense of discipline and teaching them right from wrong and letting them know when they can do better, you know, and just helping them be the best version of themselves that they can be. And, you know, if the best that these kids could do this year were 3-7, and that was what they did, I would be super proud of them. But I know they've played extremely well at times, but I know at times they can do better, and I just want them to play their best the rest of the season, starting next week. And then we got 2 weeks off before the playoffs start. So anyway, in conclusion, even when I sound like, you know, I'm mad about the way the game's going, it's just because, you know, I love these kids and I want them to do their best. And so, you know, hopefully they got as mad as I did tonight, and they're going to do everything in their power to fix this. And, you know, the coaching staff is going to do everything in their power to help them fix this, which I know they will. So. Anyway, we'll be back 1 week from tonight to exercise this game, and hopefully we'll do that for the rest of the season, and the result will be a big playoff run. So once again, your final score here tonight at Whiteland, the Whiteland Warriors 22, your Plainfield Quakers 8. The Warriors seem to be getting their season on track and improved to 4-4, while the Quakers suffer their second loss in 3 games and fall to 6-2. Well, this concludes your broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again 1 week from tonight when your Plainfield Quakers return home to play Senior Day against the Martinsville Artesians as they close out the 2023 regular season. Until then, for AudioSportsOnline.com, this is Lex Thorne reminding you there is a difference only you can make.